I have something on my heart that like the Lord has blessed us with. And we'll end up being, Lord willing, over here in the 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. So if you want to turn there. Y'all know what that chapter is. Pretty common one, isn't it? We call it the love chapter. I know it says, I want my phone up here. I've got a few notes on there that I didn't bring up. Thank you. The message this afternoon is going to have to do with the love of God and I don't believe in any way I'm going to be able to very well cover the love of God. It's a huge subject and it's so very effective, but I have titled here The Rule of Love in Our Lives. And I have some things I wrote down when I was pondering this, and I'm going to share it with you. And it might need to be refined. It may not be exactly. But I put some I believes in here. And I started off, I believe that love is a crowning characteristic of God. God identified himself so much with this characteristic that he said he is love. I believe that love is a crowning characteristic of God. I also believe that love has greater authority, greater power, and greater influence than either fear or hate. I believe that love has greater power, authority. Love has greater authority, power, and influence than either fear or hate. Think about this now. Try to think about love and its effect, its rule, its power, its authority, what it does. Have you ever tried to picture a world devoid of love? You're picturing hell if you're picturing that. You really are. It's horrible. Oh, it's hard to think of, isn't it? Another thing I believe that love is the ruling influence that instructs omnipotence how to be gentle. Let me go back over that again. I believe that love is the ruling influence that tempers power and tells power. And I put omnipotence. I think it is the very influence that makes God gentle and kind. He's powerful. He's all powerful, is he not? And he could, at a whim, destroy us. But he does it. You've heard the term before. What is it about absolute power? Corrupts and absolute power absolutely corrupts. Something like that. I believe that's, especially from the human perspective, when you have all power, if you don't have love at the base of it, you're not going to be a benevolent ruler. You're going to be a despot. You're going to be a tyrant. But God's not one of those. He's not a tyrant at all. So again, some of these things I believe are subject to the refining of the Lord, but what I've been going over in my mind, I believe that love is a ruling influence that instructs omnipotence how to be gentle. I would propose to our minds that the idea that love is the very reason humans were created. What do you think about that? I'd like to If we can walk down this road here on our mind, why are you here? Since God is love, I pondered this before, and I hope you can understand. I hope I can bring it out so you can understand how I'm thinking about it. Love just doesn't feel good by itself, does it? It just doesn't. And love almost, when you see the quality of love, if I love somebody, I've got to give them the right to return that love. If I have love itself, when love is contained only within itself, it becomes selfish, doesn't it? God's not selfish. Love, pure love of God, created an object because it longed for a free will, free moral agent to return back. Because, not because he was made to do so, but because he wanted to return love back to the Lord. I believe it's a very impulse that God has, that very influence, that very nature of his that said, I want somebody, I want to hear him say, I love you. And so he created man in his own image, and he created us with the ability to think, to reason, to say yes, and to say no. He made it. It's clearly that he gave us not only the right to say yes or no, he gave us a responsibility to make moral choice. He put a tree in the Garden of Eden, did he not? And because that existed, we had the right to prove our love to the Lord. We had the right to say, Lord, I love you more than this tree or all the temptations that are out there. And so, again, and I'm not doing this very much justice about this impulse of love, but I would propose that the idea that love is the very reason humans were created. And I don't know. I don't know the full mind of the Lord. But in my thinking, it sure wouldn't surprise me if the love itself is the very reason why God made us. He made us unique, didn't he? We're not like the animals. You know, animals, he made them instinctual. And sometimes we confuse the instinct with love. It has some similarities. I have I've reached my hand up underneath a chicken that had little chicks up underneath her, and I reached my hand up underneath there, and she started making these sounds and started pecking my hand because she said, I don't want you messing with my chicks. And I have caught little wild animals before. I've been in some places where the mothers didn't like me around their babies, and they made it clear. I've seen a cat before when she had some little babies, and normally the dog was something she'd run from, but this day she had some little babies, and the dog came up there to sniff at the little kittens, and you know what that cat did? Well, she fluffed up and she stood by her kitties, and she was willing to fight. That's instinct that God put them. He put them in there. That's not the same as love. That's not the same as what we have. We're unique to that. It has some similarities. But love is a choice. And we can say yes or no. We're different. So we're unique from all other of God's creation in that we were made able to reason in regards to morals. We are held responsible for moral choice. We are able to reason, we're able to recognize because God presents himself to us by his word. And he enlivens us by his Spirit. He presents this to us. These parts of God that comes down to work with humanity, and he requires us to make moral choice. But it's also quite a privilege to be able to do so. It's not grievous, it's not hard. When I began to behold the love of our Lord, and I felt His touch, and I start beholding His glory, and I start realizing that the things that He's asking me to do are actually for my good, and it's out of a return gratitude in my heart that I say, "Yes, Lord." And it's not a hard thing, because it's actually the pleasure of my soul to say, "Yes, Lord." God doesn't want us to follow Him out of a drudgery. Now, He does want us to follow Him out of a yielding and willing heart that says, "Thy will be done." But this isn't something that God wants His children to be under such a laborious yoke that I can't give the world a smile, and that I can't confidently look at the world and say, "Come and serve my Lord. I found Him sweet." He's a loving God. He takes people in their broken places and turns them around. He wants us to be able to do that. And sometimes after, you know, the message this morning was fantastic. It was so right. And sometimes we can listen to a message like that and almost think that, well, I've got to be so cowed down. That's not what that message this morning was about. That message was in a place, it pointed us to a place of true soul joy in the Lord. We have, that's a kind of treasure, and this also love is one of these treasures that we have in these earthen vessels. And it's not well contained when the earthen vessel takes pride in itself. But when we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and recognize our lowly place before Him, we have, it's a fit vessel, and we can have these treasures in earthen vessels. And the Lord, His love is more fully expressed and more fully realized in that humble place before Him. As far as I can tell, there is no other segment of God's creation who has the choice and privilege of loving or knowing God in the way that we do. There's nothing else out there. No animal. And we love our animals, that's okay, but they're not humans, and they don't have the same responsibility before God that you and I do. We are unique in this. God has set His affection and turned His affection toward man, and wants you and I to hear His voice and respond and learn to commune with Him, because He wants to do that in the cool of the day or in the quiet places in our life, because He wants to feed our souls and settle us and give us right thinking. You know, our thinking has been corrupted by sin, and the Lord came to try to replace that, all that corruption, and bring us to a place of wholeness before Him. I don't see any other of His creation that has been given a moral code or a code to aid them in life. I further do not see any other part of His creation who is held responsible for their choices. I believe that love is not only the crowning motivation of our Lord, but it is also intended to be the crowning jewel that motivates His human creation. I want to read that again. I think we're too sleepy. I believe that love is not only the crowning jewel that motivates our Lord, but it also is intended to be the crowning jewel that motivates His human creation. That means you and I. I believe God wants love to be the rule of our life. And again, I believe with all my heart that love is much stronger than hate. I believe that love is much stronger than any other force that's out there on the moral. Well, it's great, it is powerful, and it is the only reason why we can really be victorious. I know we talk about the blood of Jesus Christ, but it was love that brought Him down. This is what holds us in obedience to the Lord. It's not fear. Fear is not strong enough. It's a powerful force, but it's not strong enough to keep you victorious in your soul. I would like to read now 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. In light of some of the things we've talked about, as the backdrop, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and of angels. Now, that sounds like some pretty mighty speaking. I don't know exactly with the tongues of men. Well, I think we can figure out some of those. I don't know. I know there's different languages here that we know, and sometimes men wax very eloquent. I don't know whether the eloquency of this tongues of men and angels, I don't know whether eloquency there is what he's talking about angels, but it could reach into some other realms. I don't know exactly. I don't believe in speaking with a gibberish type language. I don't think that's what it, but it says, if I could speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not, it sounds like he's describing somebody that has great power in being able to communicate or reach into some real depths. He said, though I speak like this and am missing this element of godly love, the value of what I have to say is so extremely diminished. Well, it says this, and men and angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I have become, another translation says, as a banging gong. That's not very pleasant, is it? The abuse of a discordant something that's just banging. Maybe trash cans out there just banging. No, it's not pleasant at all. It doesn't help. Though I speak, and it seems like it's so many things, but if I've left this element out, there is something that gives life to our communication with our neighbors. When I begin to talk with them about the things of the Lord, a lot of times before the words come out, if they haven't seen something, they haven't seen the love of God in us, our words are very ineffective. I don't care how good a speech you have put together to tell him. And it's good to think about what you're going to tell him. Try to have words of grace to bring to him. I want to tell you, if we don't have a life to back behind it, it's going to be very ineffective. The doors will be closed. They need to see something. We can come to somebody and have a, and really spell out the gospel and say it as appealing as what we know how to say it. But if there's not the warmth of God's presence and His love that goes with that, or something that they can see Christ, it really has very little effect. Folks, if our lives doesn't say it, our mouths are going to have a hard time saying it. God wants His very presence, the very effect, this power of love to be the thing that shines out, that people see the most. Second verse. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that I could remove mountains. The picture he's painting here sounds, and though I have the gift of prophecy, what, to your mind, what do we think? Normally, it's maybe what he's talking about here is not just the gift of communicating about the Lord. Some of this, when we talk about prophecy back here, that was foretelling. Some of it was, not all, but some of it was foretelling things. Isaiah was one of the prophets. And I really enjoy some of the prophecies that he gave us. It foretold. And though it says, though I have this type of a gift, the Lord has given that. There were some New Testament prophecies that happened. You remember one that came, I forget his name right now, that came to Paul and bound, remember, took a girdle and bound it and said, the man whose girdle, he's going to go down, he's going to be bound. And that was a prophecy. It happened. It was true. And it says, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, I have great understanding, and though I have all faith to the point so that I could remove mountains. I tell you, folks, this is a little challenging to me when I think that Back then, the brother was writing something like this. It could well be possible, we have faith, that we could move some mighty things. They sound like even maybe some physical things. I've lost my place. And though all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. I can take a mountain and make it move. But if it's not under the unction of the Lord, it's not worth anything. Have all knowledge? Maybe I could argue a point so finely, so well. Maybe I'm a real skilled orator. Maybe I have so schooled in theology. Maybe I've turned over every rock and I have been a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and we've argued the point so well, we pretty well got it nailed down. And I can bind heavy burdens on you that you can't gainsay, because I got the scripture to prove it. And if I have not charity, that's of absolute no value. I believe that love is the greatest force, greatest influence. This shouldn't be a head knowledge thing. This shouldn't be something that I legally do. The Jews did that before, and so we have scriptures that say the letter killeth, because they legally did things and forgot to know God. They legally, they took the letter of the law and they figured it out, and they whittled it down and they applied it very stringently and forgot God. And the letter killeth. The letter causes all kinds of it distorts the view of God in people's minds. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, it's great things that somebody would be willing to do all this, and have not charity, it profits me nothing. It'd be a horrible thing to come down and give all, even your body, to be burned, and then realize it was of no profit at all. Charity suffers long. Here we're going to start seeing the characteristics that God wants us to embrace. Charity, God's love. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Have you ever thought, again, maybe, probably you have, what it'd be like if those around us didn't have charity toward us? I think they'd be a lot sharper tongued than what they are. I think they'd be pretty quick to point out my faults that probably needs to be pointed out some, but nobody can point out our faults as well or as effectively as what God Himself is, because He loves us, and the way He does it is so straight and so lovingly and so to the point that we recognize how great His love is. And it's a winning thing. You see, it is one thing to be able to see it and recognize it and point it out, but if we don't have the love of God in the middle of it, it's going to be destructive. It's going to be hurtful and not effective. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Charity does not elevate itself. Charity does not act like that. Charity will prevent us from lifting up ourselves above our brother or our sister, or finding in my mind the ability to devalue the worth of my fellow man. Charity doesn't do that. Charity doesn't vaunt itself up. In the act of elevating ourselves, that means that we are, in our minds, we start putting others down. That's not the act of love. That's not the way God has ever acted. Charity. Now, God Himself is the God of universe. But the way He acts toward us is that He loved us to the point that He sent His whole, He's elevated. But because He loves, He sent His Son to come down. Isn't this the act of love? It's the ultimate act of love, to come down to you and I So he doesn't vaunt himself. He didn't think it robbery to be equal with God, but he came and gave himself that you and I might find salvation. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly. You run over in your minds, think of what unseemliness is. I'll repeat to you a little bit. Sometimes in my childhood, and I suppose all of us can look back and remember times that maybe we were frustrated with siblings or folks around us, and started acting in ways that wasn't very good. And I remember my mother more than once would say, "Now that's ugly." I know what she was meaning. That's unseemly. That doesn't look good. That doesn't sound good. That those words came out bad. You need to change that. Because it didn't. There was things about that. It wasn't kind. It wasn't gentle. In fact, he's a bit puffed up with that. Something was wrong. That's ugly. Folks, I submit to you that any time that we act under the influence of the flesh, instead of under this noble influence of love, it's an ugly act. It does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. I want to stop here just a little bit and think about this. How easy is it for you to suspect your brother or your sister? Or do we have trust with each other? I believe one of the characteristics of the body of Christ is when we can, though we recognize our brother and sister's humanity, but we're willing to listen to what they have to say. I believe it's important for, that's love. It's disregarding them if I'm not willing to stop and listen. We're not valuing our brother or sister if I'm not listening to what they're saying. Thinketh no evil. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Doesn't just automatically ascribe a wrong motive without considering. Without listening. God help us to employ the rule of love in our life. It helps us in so many ways. And I'm doing such a poor job of describing this. I trust the Lord will enliven our minds to examine what love means and how God intends for it to be active in our lives and how God wants it carried out when I share our interaction with each other. It means something. You know, we can lay love aside and not let that rule our life. And we can come to services and we can create such a sense of... the devil can build antagonism. The devil can build harshness within us that we end up not even being able to smile genuinely toward each other. And to be able to say, "Brother, I love you." And those are good things to say. We should affirm to each other our brotherhood. "I love you, brother. I want to walk this way with you. Can we link arms here? I want to serve the Lord. I believe you do too. And I may not fully understand all the things, the reasons why, and I may not even be able to do the things that this other brother, but I want to encourage him. Brother, let's go up to Zion. Let's climb up this path. Let's get to know our Lord. Let his love warm our heart. Let his love open my eyes. Let the heart of my door be open to his and understanding his ways." Because we need the Lord to reveal his truth to us. And there's some real truths that can really only be well understood in this avenue of love. Legally, we can teach things pretty strongly legally and leave out God and leave out love. and its effectiveness and its ability to sink down in our hearts can just flow away. God help us to not leave out this element, this rule of love. I believe it is the strongest element, strongest part of God. This potency that God has given us is intended to rule our lives and to guide us and to bless us and to bless our interaction with each other, lend definition to what truth really is in our heart and our mind. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Not only giving hope for me, but also I'm not willing to receive an accusation, not willing to receive a doubt against you. And I hope you don't receive an easy doubt against me, but we have hope in each other. Give space. Hope with all things, endures all things. Charity never fails. And I like that, and I believe the brother put that in there for it, and I think he knew exactly what he was saying when he said charity never fails, never faileth. He realized the value of charity and God's love in our life and his influence in all of our thinking and the choices of life. Without charity, we are nothing. Without these things, with God influencing our thinking and our decisions of life, we're going to have some wrong decisions. But charity never fails. Charity is that part that will still be there when we're on our deathbed. You know, someone recently during this meeting, maybe a sister Maxine in her message mentioned about the seasons of our life, and sometimes you get down to the end and getting older. Sometimes if there's things that we haven't gotten victory over when we're young, it can come out more strongly. We start losing our inhibitions, folks. We just do. And we start saying, well, that's just how I feel. And we're willing to say what's on our mind a little bit more. And God would have us learn to allow love to grow in our heart when we're younger. Right now, prepare for your old age. Right now, let the love of God shape you and start burning out some things that when we get older, we have sweetness come out instead of just our old, maybe codgerly selves, let me use that term. That sweetness will come out instead of my old carnality. Love will never fail. Charity never fails. But whether there is prophecies, Isaiah had some good prophecies, didn't he? They were true, but they're complete. Prophecy has failed. It didn't mean it was wrong, but it's come to its end. Prophecy has been fulfilled. Isaiah's prophecies were great. There's other prophecies that have been fulfilled. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. There will be a time that some of the gifts, some of the ability to reach out and talk with people of other nationalities, sometimes the ability to communicate, all that can cease, but there's something that goes beyond this. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And I don't know about you, but I have, I'm getting old enough to the point that I'm starting to think some of my knowledge is vanishing away. We change, things change. Also, knowledge itself will come to sometimes its very, very conclusion. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with, so it's been fulfilled. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. I think there's some other things he might be referring to here, in here too, that he's teaching. But right now, we're going to go on. For we see through a glass darkly. Our understanding isn't complete right now. There's some things we grasp through a glass darkly. But then, face to face. Now I know in part, but then Shall I know even as also I am known? Oh, there's going to be a great revealing, a great confirmation if we're faithful to the Lord. And now abides faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity, is love. Folks, let's identify with this greatest crowning jewel. Let's say, Lord, I want that to be more real in my life. When I interact with people around me, love is never identifies with a lie. No, love never identifies with something that's untruthful. Love never identifies with, it doesn't excuse bad action. Love never, my mother loved me, and I'm confident she, every time she spanked me, it wasn't because she was trying to excuse any kind of evil. I think it was out of love. She was doing that. I did some things that deserved it. And I don't want to just associate love with that type of corporal, perhaps, correction. But God does love His children enough to correct, enough to redirect us. And He'll come by and He'll use whatever He needs to get our attention because He loves. This is the type of love the Lord wants to guide our life with. And it causes us to be tender toward our fellow man. Even if, you know, a man, I won't get into all that right now, but a man in his home can be the strongest one, the biggest one there. And he can, if he wants to, he can be a tyrant in that home. But love would teach him to care for his child, to try to develop and direct his child in the way of goodness. The man, if he identifies with love, would go the extra mile, not to just, he wants to protect his family. He wants to protect his home. He wants to provide, yes, provide, but he also wants to protect them, and not just from outside influences that would come in to hurt his children, but he would want to protect them from the influences that are incorrect in human thinking. That's why we teach our children not to be selfish with one another and not hit one another. They're very basic things that love teaches us. And so as we get older and we learn sometimes, for sadly, that we start learning as we get older how to be me-centered instead of Christ-centered. The devil would like to draw us over into that territory because that's damaging to us. It'll damage any group of people if you have people stand up and be self-centered instead of Christ-centered. It'll cause damage. But love is the rule. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. And faith is great, and hope is fantastic. These are all great. He didn't diminish faith or hope in any way when he talked about these as being less or not as great as charity. Faith is fantastic. It's what God has given us. It's very powerful. And we should covet, Lord, strengthen our faith. Increase my faith. Faith, hope. Our hope should be strong. We should have good reason to believe in what Christ has brought to us. And the salvation that we find in Christ. We should lay hold on that hope. It's all right. It's great. It's fantastic. But above all that, and we may be able to understand everything and reason well and have all kinds of ideas that we feel like that I can reason and talk with a man and show him how wrong he is and how right my way is. Be careful. Take Christ with you before you go. Let His love be the thing that seasons your words. Speak with grace. Season with salt. And let this love, this very element of God that communes with our very spirit, let that be the motivation of our life. Let that be this love that's greater than all. Let this love be the thing that causes us to say, yes, Lord. I don't think that Eve's love was where it should have been the day that she began to look at another tree. I think somewhere her love had waned. Don't leave your first love. Don't leave your devotion to the Lord. Because in doing so, we lay ourselves vulnerable, not only to partaking of sin, but to do damage to people all around us. It does damage to them and does damage to my own thinking, my own soul. It becomes ugly. When my mother used to say, "Ivan, that's ugly. What you said is ugly." It didn't mean that the word somehow took on some grotesque form, but it meant it does damage. That's not good. And Lord, help us to identify with the very beauty that comes down from heaven. This beauty that says, love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. It's the greatest commandment. And the second one is just like it, or likened to it. Love your neighbor like that too, as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. We would not need to give much definition to everything if we understood and was guided by the true love of God. May the Lord help us all this afternoon.